The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
Just about every Primitive Baptist church I've ever been to, every association I've ever been to, the church I pastor, the articles of faith, generally the first one, if it's not the first one, it's somewhere toward the top. It'll say something like this: we believe in one true and living God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, that's at the top of where Articles of Faith, where I serve, and Travelers Rest, where I grew up in Knoxville, Tennessee, and most every other place that I've ever been or visited. I want to go to a portion of Scripture found in the book of Jude. We'll just look at the very first part of that, and then there's some other places I want to look at, the Lord being our helper here for a little bit of time this afternoon. Now, the book of Jude, I want to look at just how this starts. Now, remember that phrase, we believe in one true and living God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. There we go. Now, the book of Jude, just right before the book of Revelation, it's just one chapter. Sometimes if you're talking about some type of heresy, somebody might ask, where'd you get that? They'll say Jude chapter 3. That's a joke. It means it's not in there, right? Now, this book starts off and it says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, and I want you to listen to who he addresses this to them who are that are sanctified by God the Father. Now, we believe one true and living God, Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. Now, watch this. They're sanctified by God the Father. That's a work of God the Father, evidently, according to Jude. Now, he goes on to say, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Now there you see the second part of that Godhead, alive and well in that verse, doing some work. God the Father does the sanctifying. God the Son does the preserving. Now he goes on to finish that out and he says, and called. Now, if something in here has been awakened and made alive by the Holy Spirit of God, that's the third part of the Godhead doing its work. Now, right there in one verse in Jude, you have all three aspects of the God, all three persons of the Godhead doing not all of their work, but one of their works. Sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. Now, for the remainder of time before you this afternoon, I want to take up this subject. I want to talk about preservation and perseverance. Now, go on with this here. You'll be surprised how overly simple this concept is. If you just apply, we're over here in West Alabama, right? Some down-home country sense. You follow? Okay. Now, this says that this book is written to somebody, to those who are sanctified by God the Father. Now, that means that you're chosen, you're called out, or you're made holy, or set apart in some way, shape, form, or fashion by God the Father. But then he says that that same number who's been sanctified or chosen by God the Father have been preserved in Jesus Christ. Now, I'll say this about the preservation process. Whatever it is that is preserved, I don't care whatever you're preserving up here in this part of the country. Whatever is preserved is only as good as the preserving agent that you use. Okay? Now, what is the preserving agent in this text? It's Jesus Christ the righteous. It's one that never dies. It's one that lives forever. We heard this morning, sitting, sat, and standing on the right hand of God the Father. That's the one that we're preserved in. So, I don't believe that there's a bit of danger in us falling out of that state. Now, I've done some preserving in my day, and you guys might do some preserving over here in this part of the country. Now, where I'm at, talking to brother earlier over here, we grow a garden. I planted mine this past week. My dad's always on me. Got to get it early, got to get it early. I don't like to replant. Okay? Where we're at, it gets cold later than it probably does down here, and it rains. Got to wash everything out, freeze everything off, go back and replant. Got to do it all again. I don't like to do something over twice. Now, we're not in any danger with the Lord. He just does it once, as we heard this morning, and he perfected forever them that are sanctified. See there in Hebrews chapter number 9. Now, over there in my garden, we grow all kind of beans. Last year, we grew this thing called rattlesnake beans. You ever heard of them?
Yeah, they eat good.
and rattlesnake beans and big purple stripes on them, big beans. I'll tell you, after we, me and my little buddy back here, we pick beans by the 5-gallon bucket full, carry them to the house. And you know what's better than TV? Is after everybody goes to bed, you just sit up, you just turn a little sermon on your computer over here or your cell phone, and you just sit there and break beans while everybody's asleep. That is some relaxing summertime fun, according to me. Now, I'm telling you, we pick beans left and right. I had them in buckets. I had them in the utility room. I had them in the refrigerator. I had them in the sink. My wife was sick of beans. Now, I got them broke up, and buddy, you know, I got this pressure cooker. It's pressure cooker. Now, any of y'all ever done this? You got the pressure cooker, and it can hold 7 jars. Old one used to hold 5. We got one to hold 7. Yeah, we can can 7 jars of beans at once. Now, what I'm trying to get across to you this afternoon is we're preserving those beans, and rattlesnakes eat pretty good through the winter, right? Yeah, we're preserving those beans. Well, here's the thing. I never met, and I never expect to meet, the first half runner, Blue Lake, rattlesnake, or peanut bean that ever going to help me preserve it.
Right.
You with me so far? Now, I've never met a bean. And listen, I did corn last summer. I put 3 years in a bag. Got these big Ziploc bags, put them all in the freezer. I found out that was a lot easier than creaming it off the cob, and the kids like it better that way anyway, so I'm a lot happier to put it up on the cob.
Amen.
But I've never met an ear of corn that ever helped me preserve it. It never jumped off the stalk. It never walked into my kitchen. It never shucked itself and jumped in the bag and jumped in the freezer and said, listen, I've done half the work now. That's not how gardening works, is it? You got to be the one to plant the thing. You got to be the one to go pull the weeds out and work it up. And when it gets time to harvest, you got to be the one that goes and gets it and does the preserving, if there's any preserving done.
Amen.
And in this instance here, we see that you and I have been sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. If you and I are preserved today, I'm talking about our souls, our spirits and body are preserved for that place it's called heaven. It's not because we helped God do the work. It's because He just did it all Himself.
Amen.
And it pleased Him to do so.
Amen.
Isn't that a wonder there? You know, sometimes folks will tell you, well, I garden because, you know, it helps out, you know. And it does. But I garden because I'm on blood pressure meds through the school year. But whenever summer comes around and I get out in the garden and I do some work out there and I get to sweating and I get to moving and all that kind of thing, I don't have to take my meds for about 10 weeks. That's pretty good, right? I garden because I want to. I'm telling you, God the Father in heaven chose you because He wanted to.
Amen.
It pleased Him to.
Right.
Could you imagine, as sorry as me and you are, a God in heaven sometime in eternity past will look down and said, I'm going to love that one, and I'm going to save that one, and I'm going to preserve that one, and I'm going to make sure that they live with me in all of eternity, a world without end. Can you imagine a God like that? That's who we've come to worship today.
Amen.
That's who we sing talking about the watchman. That's who we sing talking about it is well with my soul.
Yeah.
If you've ever read the story behind that song about how that fellow's family went down with that boat over there in the middle of the ocean and the Lord blessed him to write that song and he went back and visited that place just a little bit later on. If you could ever come to the point where you know that if you lose everything you have in this world, it doesn't matter because it's well with our soul, because one of these days we'll be in heaven with one another. And that forevermore, there's no parting there.
Right.
He tells you here that you've been sanctified by God the Father. God did the choosing there. And God did the preserving. You know what the preserving is? That's the work. It is work, isn't it? Go with me now. I'll go to another portion of scripture over here in the book of Thessalonians on in the back of this. And I'll try to point your minds to a portion of scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Go with me to the end of that. No, the Apostle Paul had a way of putting some things, and he's going to get every part of me and you in this verse. Go with me, 1 Thessalonians in 5, and he tells us there in verse 23, he says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." That's W-H-O-L-L-Y.
Right.
That means all of you.
Amen.
He says, sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body. What are we made up of? Those three things. I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And if it is preserved, it's somebody else that had to do it. I don't know about this part of the country, but where I'm from, up in the hills of East Tennessee, there's a lot of hog raising going on when I was little. Y'all have any hogs down here? I mean, besides more Razorbacks out there, but I mean, you know that old hog meat? Let me tell you what Thanksgiving was. Thanksgiving now, boy, you got the parade that comes on, and you got the big meal at Granny's house, and then you got the football that comes on. When I was growing up, Thanksgiving Day was the day you got up at 4 a.m, kind of like we did today. But instead of going to meeting, you went out to the hog shed, and you watched Granddaddy shoot the hog. And you put that 600-pound thing in a tub of what? I don't know how they did that, but I watched 4 or 5 of them drag it out of there. And then they went to butchering. Pretty graphic, isn't it? Yeah, I was like 7 or 8 when all this was going on. I'm watching. That's Thanksgiving Day for us. Mm-hmm. When they got all that done, they went up to this other building they had called a smokehouse. You know, smokehouse, right? Got all them shelves in there. Let me tell you how you preserve that hog meat. You had to go buy big bags of salt, about this big. And you lay that salt out on the shelves. And then you lay your meat on the shelf that you cut out there. And once you lay the meat on the shelf on top of that salt, guess what? You're not done. If you stop right there, guess what's going to happen? Next time you open the door to that smokehouse, that smell going to knock you down. That ain't nothing, just bad meat. You had to go back and you had to cover it all the way over with salt. Put it on the bottom, put it on top, make sure it's crusted around. And you're preserving it. But let me tell you, that hog meat in that smokehouse, it's only going to stay good as long as the salt is good. It's only going to stay good as long as the salt is good. All that corn I got in the freezer up home, if the power was to go out today and it not turn on for a while, guess what? The ice, that's the agent I'm using to preserve that, it's going to melt. And that stuff eventually go bad. Why is that? Because whatever's preserved is only as good as what you use to preserve it. And you and I, he said, I pray your whole soul, spirit, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been preserved today by something, for something. We've been preserved by Jesus Christ for heaven's pure world. Amen. That's great. It's good news. You know what that does? It leaves man out of the picture, doesn't it? Leaves man totally out. And when it leaves man out, sometimes it'll go against the grain and it'll go against maybe our own human and carnal nature. But what it'll do is it'll give all the glory, honor, and praise to a thrice holy God in heaven. And that's good news for us. Go with me to the book of 2 Timothy here at the very back, 2 Timothy chapter number 4. This is that great chapter where Paul is speaking about he's now ready to be offered. He's finished his course. He's fought a good fight. He's kept the faith. There's henceforth laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He goes on in this, speaking to his buddies that are gathered there with him. And he says this in verse number 18 of 2 Timothy chapter number 4. He says, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. And he signified it with an amen. That's pretty good news, isn't it? Yeah. To him be glory forever and ever. And it's the Lord who will preserve me. Right. There we go. I believe Paul's putting the glory and honor there strictly where it belongs. Right. Upon the person of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, if you would go with me now to another point. A little more turn than we did this morning. Go with me now to the book of Ephesians over there toward the very end. And we'll find another word that's being used. And that word is perseverance. And we'll see how these words maybe compare or contrast one another. Now in Ephesians chapter number 6, you'll find this in verse number 18. And this is just right after the apostle gets done admonishing the saints to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And right after he gets done telling them about the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, he tells them in verse number 18 of Ephesians 6, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. See that perseverance there? That's something that we ought to do. See how that's applied? That's a little bit different than preserve, isn't it? The preserving's the work of Jesus Christ. It says that we ought to persevere in prayer. Can anybody say you pray as much as you ought to? Anybody want to raise your hand and admit to that? You pray as much as you ought to, or more than you should? Well, then we got some persevering to do. You with me? Preservation and perseverance are similar words. They sound the same. They got some similar letters. But let me tell you how that works. See, in the town in which I live, it's pretty close to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Anybody ever been up to Pigeon Forge? Oh, everybody loves Pigeon Forge, right? Till they get there and sit in the traffic. Oh, up around Knoxville, everybody loves going to Pigeon Forge, you know, for the weekend and all this. Up there in Pigeon Forge, they got a minor league baseball team called the Tennessee Smokies. Every now and then, about this time of year, summertime comes around, maybe early fall, they have a lot of ball games. And I thought one time, I'll take my kids to the ball game out here, just kind of experience, you'll see what that's like. Well, I start looking up the dates when they're going to play. And you know, they have these gimmicks to try to get you to come on certain nights. And this was before I found out about All You Can Eat Wednesday. Well, I found out about All You Can Eat Wednesday. We come up there and I looked at the schedule, and it had this night it called Peanut Free Night. I told my wife, I said, that's when we're going to go. I'm going to take the kids Peanut Free Night. I thought, boy, I like peanuts. The kids like peanuts and they're free. Hey, what better night to go? All right. I get all ready to go. And then, you know, my wife, she waited till it was almost too late. She had fun with it. She said, honey, I don't think peanut free means what you think it means. I said, what do you mean? She said, peanut free night is the night when folks with peanut allergies can go and there's not a peanut in the ballpark. I found out there's a big difference in peanut free and free peanuts. It sounds similar, doesn't it? Preservation, perseverance, well, that kind of sounds similar. I'm telling you, there's a world of difference because one, the preserving, for what we read to you, is by and through the finished work of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and His shed blood on Calvary. And it's 100% the work of the Lord and not of man. Just as you go out this time of year, you got strawberries coming in East Tennessee, and I'm going to go buy me some, and I'm going to cut them up, and I'm going to put them in the freezer because those things eat good all year. I love cobblers. I love strawberry desserts. Somebody had a good cake back here a while ago full of strawberries. I'm telling you, I've told them before at church, my doctor won't like whoever made that, but I sure do. I love those strawberries. I preserve them. But I'm telling you, unless you come along and pick them berries, what's going to happen if you leave them in the field? They're going to wither away. They'll fade away and die. Yeah, just like the flowers of the grass, they'll fade away. Yeah. And what is man left to his own devices? But as the flowers of the grass, you just fade away. Amen. Just as nothing. Right. By the time the summer, by the time the fall comes, you wouldn't even be able to tell there was a strawberry plant ever there.
Right.
Left to its own devices. But I'm telling you, friends, judged by the Spirit and power of Almighty God and being sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ, you and I can say today that there's a people that God loves that is made in fashion and fit for heaven and immortal glory, not because of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His own purpose and grace given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. What do you say to a God that loved us like this and a God that loved us so much? Amazing. amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I believe when we can sing those words with power and actually mean them, I believe then we're understanding the meaning of true grace. I feel like a wretch in this world. I feel like a sinner. I feel like many times this world is not my home, like I'm a pilgrim and a stranger, and like the folks I work around and the folks I live around, they just don't understand me. They just don't get me. I feel kind of peculiar and odd here in this world. Do you ever feel like that in this low ground of sin and sorrow? If you do, friend, that's a sign to me that something lives within your heart and soul that causes you to cry, Abba, Father. Amen. That spirit that God the Father put in there. I'm telling you, friends, there's an idea in this world today that's being peddled that you just got to go get it. Just go get it. God's out there with that eternal life. And if you want to reach far enough and go far enough and do enough, you can get it. Well, you know what that is? I'll be real plain. That's putting the work over there in man's courts. That's not where it belongs. You go with me there to a scripture there in 1 Timothy. Go to about the end of that book. You'll find that brother Paul instructing this young man. He tells him, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That's 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 10. Do you know in the world in which we live, the love of money is still the root of all evil. It's still that way today. Which while some coveted after, they pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Don't get to the point in this world where you think, well, you know, maybe the economy hits a recession. Old Baptist is preaching a pretty hard doctrine, pretty strict obedience. We better back off of that. That way it'll appeal to more people. Oh, goodness, friends. You know what you did when you start doing that? Yeah. Just exactly what that brother did this morning over there in Matthew. You start selling out.
Right.
He tells them here, the love of money is the root of all evil. Right. Some coveting after that, they pierce themselves through with many arrows. And he says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness. Do you know we're supposed to flee those vain temptations of the flesh and follow after righteousness? That's tough to do on a hot Saturday afternoon, isn't it? I'm telling you, friends, there's greater joy to be found in the service of the Lord than in anything else you'll ever know in this world.
Amen.
And the world in which you live doesn't understand that. But that's okay. We don't have to explain it to them, and we probably couldn't. He says, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You know what the works crowd's going to say about that verse? They're going to say, see there, Brother Daniel, you got to lay hold on it. You got to go get it. Not so fast. Who's he talking to? But thou, O man of God, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Well, whereunto thou art also called. God did the calling beforehand. I don't know how many of y'all have a tool shed at home. We have a rusty old barn. We used to have three. The Lord took care of one. Yeah, another one we had tore down. We got one left. It's got all my tools and a bunch of junk I don't even need. Stuff that our family's been piling up for generations. And I'm trying to get rid of it as fast as I can. I've got some useful tools in there, though. I've got an old weed eater. That weed eater, I'm telling you, it's pretty good when it works. I'll start it, I'll crank four or five times, and buddy, if it ain't ready to weed eat, I ain't either. I got a chainsaw in there. My wife ordered me off the internet several years ago after we got married. I fussed about I needed a chainsaw. She ordered me one, isn't that nice? It's one of them battery-powered chainsaws. You hook it up, works like a cordless drill. I'm telling you, you put that power pack on that chainsaw, and it'll buzz as hard and as fast as you want to go for about 20 minutes.
Right.
I don't know if you ever done that kind of work. After about 20 minutes, I'm done with it, and it's done with me. I've got my chainsaw in there. I've got my weed eater in there. I've got a ladder, lawnmower, all this stuff in there. But you see, it's mine. It's in my shed. I can go lay hold on that. You know why?
Because
it's mine. Hey, and once I pick it up, I can go use it.
Right.
You follow? I can go take that chainsaw that's mine. I can go take that weed eater that's mine. I can go trim some bits. I can go cut some brush. I can go make the driveway look good. I can go trim around the house and up and down the hedges and all kind of thing like that. I can cut some ugly brush that's grown up and overgrown over the winter. And I can make it look awful good if I use that which I already have.
Amen.
But suppose for a minute, I like Brother Tim, so... Suppose for a minute Brother Tim come in there one night while I was sleeping and laid hold on my chainsaw. It's not his, it's mine. See, he'd be trying to steal it, wouldn't he? It's not his, it's mine. When the Lord tells you to lay hold on eternal life, he's not telling you to go try to find something you don't have. He's telling you to use what he's already give you. They play this old Geico commercial about an old fella with that old fishing rod and that dollar.
Yeah.
Over there. Oh, you almost got it. Oh, you almost got it. That's not how the Lord deals with eternal life. That may be how they deal with auto insurance, but that's not how the God of heaven has saved your souls.
Amen.
You've been preserved in Jesus Christ and sanctified by God the Father and called of His Holy Spirit a sometime between conception and the grave. And what you and I ought to do is try our best to persevere in prayer and to do our dead level best while we live here in this world, to lay hold on what God's already given us and use it to the praise, honor, and glory of God all the days of our life. I've got these things that are precious to me. As I go back down this road, maybe tomorrow evening sometime, and my little baby's back there. I know you feel the same way about yours. I know you feel the same way about yours. We stopped down here at one of these service stations of some old shady looking Texaco off the interstate down here. And I go in there and somebody tries to lay hold on that little curly headed girl back there.
Yeah.
My little boy, I'm going to tell you what, they're going to have to deal with me. You get to see me in the paper on Monday too, not just on Saturday and Sunday. You know why? Because they belong to me.
Amen.
Strangers ought not to put their hands on them.
That's right. Amen.
A little woman up here in East Tennessee, she belongs to me.
Yeah.
I can lay hold on my wife.
Yeah.
And it's good and right.
Yeah.
You know why? Because she belongs to me.
Amen.
I'm telling you, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ feels the same way about you, but
Amen.
Only with a much more deep and compassionate love than I could ever muster or understand.
Right.
The Lord loves you with an everlasting love. If it hadn't been for the Lord, I wouldn't even know how to love myself. I'm telling you, when the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, begin to understand some things about that. And that servant, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, feels the same way about His children. You belong to Him.
Amen.
You're married to Him.
Right.
You know He's the bridegroom.
Right.
And we're the bride.
Right. Yeah.
It's the way a man feels about his bride.
Yeah.
That's the way Jesus Christ feels about His people.
Yeah.
You and I, as we've been sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ, called by His Holy Spirit, ought to do our best as we live here in this world to honor the name of our husband and our Lord all the days of our life, as the scripture says, that others may see our good works. Not us, but glorify our Father which is in heaven. If there's any good qualities you see in me, you thank the Lord.
Amen.
They didn't come from my Adam nature, that's for sure. It come from the Lord.
Amen.
If there's any good things that you see, anything I've ever said that's been of any benefit, you thank the Lord.
Amen.
Because that's where it had to come from.
Right.
In Him we live and move and have our being. It's no mistake, it's worded that way. We live and then move,
right,
have our being. God bless you. These thoughts is our prayer this evening.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.